Hi, this is David Giard. Welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. Today, my guests are Sam Harris, Henry Vasquez, and Oliver Strahl of Tribe. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Great.
Let's start with Henry. What do you do for Tribe?
Yeah, so I'm the CEO and one of the co-founders.
And Oliver?
I call myself employee number one. A lot of customer facing, so sales and associate for marketing.
How about you, Sam? What's your role?
I'm the CTO.
All right. And what does Tribe do? Henry, in a nutshell, people ask you in the elevator, what is this?
Yeah, so Tribe is a client success software for professional services. We work with a lot of coaches and consultants, people who train people and deliver sort of high-end professional services.
You work with people who provide professional services. So what do you provide to them?
Yeah, we provide an online platform. And it's a client engagement tool. So what it allows you to do is work with your clients from the moment that they're a lead to a prospect all the way to an active client. It's an engagement tool for that process.
Sounds like a CRM, a customer relationship manager. Is that fair?
So it is in the same vein, in the same universe as a CRM. Here's how I like to think of it. When you use your CRM, does your client actually participate, or are they just a name and a number? That's kind of the difference. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, so another way to think, so have you ever read an article about, you know, the five steps to hiring an employee, you know, in LinkedIn or something? Mm-hmm. You know, and you say to yourself, I should really do that, right? But then you never do it, you forget about it. And you certainly don't remember who wrote the article, but the person who wrote that article wants you to remember who they are. They put a lot of effort into that. And they're a lot of times they're actually a professional services provider. And so imagine if instead, as you read that article, there's a button in the article. You click that button and you get a checklist, and you can work your way through a checklist. And you work on the checklist and you say, you know what, you know, I can't do this right now. It says, remind me later. You enter your email address and you move on with your life. You totally forget about it. You know, a week goes by, a month goes by. You get an email. It's got a picture of the coach. It reminds you about the five steps. It's like, hey, remember those five steps hiring an employee? Where are you? How are you doing on this? And you step number two, you can mark it done. You can interact with the steps. As you interact with them, you're actually interacting with the coach. So the coach is able to reinforce his brand, remind you of who he is, help you make some progress towards your goal. And the whole time you're building up trust and relationship with that coach. And so now you have gone from a faceless name on a website that hit an article that he wrote months ago and can't remember anything, to you actually know who this person is and you trust him. So if he comes to you and says, hey, you know, if you need help with this, I actually do this for a living, now all of a sudden, you know, it's much more likely he's going to make a sale.
Oh, okay. So in this case, the coach would be the author of the article, and that would be your customer. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so he's providing the people that read his article some sort of their own task list, but he's helping to manage that. He's helping to mentor. That's where it goes above and beyond just a simple, I've recorded these contacts with this customer and I intend to do these other actions, and just a simple checklist that a CRM does.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's much more engaged. Think of it like this. If you're a coach, 20 years ago, there's people who are not a customer, and then there's someone who pays you a couple thousand dollars. There's nothing in between. There's no way to engage with people before that point. We're essentially giving them this toolkit to apply all of their knowledge and all of their skills in behavioral, you know, psychology. We're giving them the ability to do that with automation, with technology.
Oh, okay. And so some of that's automated. And it sounds like you said that they see the coach, so some of it is actually hands-on touch between them and their customers or their potential customers.
Yeah, the line is sort of wherever you want it to be. So you could have somebody potentially engaging in these action plans completely self-serve forever if you wanted. More likely, you're going to level them up into a more personalized and hands-on approach.
All right. How old is this company?
We started in March of 2015.
All right. Are you online now? You actually have customers, or is this in beta?
Yeah, we have 6,000 end users, and we have 73 paying customers. So
outstanding.
Yeah,
I'm curious where your customers come from. How do you find them?
Yeah, so we definitely had a geographic focus in the beginning on Chicago, where the business was started. And but at the end of the day, it's a digital platform, so our customers are actually from all over the world. We had a very interesting video podcast, not unlike this one, with one of our customers in Germany. And so what happens is a good percentage of our customers come through the website, through inbound marketing, and through referrals. And so we don't necessarily choose where they come from. On the outbound side, when we're actually going to prospect, we do focus on the Chicagoland area.
Okay, well, that's very cool, because I actually am in Chicago right now. And I understand that I want to see this chart that Sam was showing me earlier that indicates that Oliver actually is adding value to the company. Can you show that chart to everybody right now?
Yeah, no, when I'm at parties and people say, you know, what is it that Oliver does? And I say, this is what Oliver does. So this is our total registered users, and that little arrow says Oliver's first day.
Oliver, I got to ask you, what did you do on day one to cause that curve to go up? Is that all your cousins and all your pals?
I cannot take all of the credit for that spike. At the time, we were in Techstars, and it was just coincidental that as I had joined, we had hit a spike of people that had just come in. So we were looking at the chart, I don't know, a couple of months ago, and that's when I was just looking at it and say, hey, Sam, when did I come on? When did I join Tribe? And he goes, oh, right at the beginning of the spike. So then he thought it would be funny to put a little arrow. It's like, not much, not much, not much, bang. It's like, there it is. So, no, I mean, honestly, working for Tribe, it's really great being able to kind of interact with all types of different people, especially business coaches, because I think they really get to understand kind of what we're doing and what we're about. And especially, we're just trying to bring them something new that they haven't really seen before. So it's a fun challenge to try and kind of work with them and show them what we're doing.
Tell me a little about your experience with Techstars, which is a local startup accelerator here in Chicago.
Yeah, so we went through the Techstars Chicago 2015 program, and it lasted from July through October. It is considered the best incubator, or accelerator rather, in the Midwest, and it was highly selective. Sam and I didn't believe that we were going to get in. We had just started the company. Many of the companies that apply are in their second or third year of business, and we were a couple of months old. And I think they said something like 900 companies apply for the 10 spots. It's kind of crazy. And sure enough, we were admitted into the program, and it was one of the more intense and difficult experiences that I've been through, but absolutely thankful that we did it.
My friend Martin Schrey does some work with Techstars. Did you cross paths with him at all?
All the time. I had lunch with him today.
Guys, do we know Martin?
The reason we had to push this back a couple hours is because I had he had a CTO lunch scheduled for today.
Oh, I've been to that a few times. That's always a good time. How did Martin help you out?
So Martin's done several things, and there was another gentleman that has since moved to Seattle, Tim.
Tim Benrick. Good man.
Yeah, those two have helped me immeasurably. I can't say enough nice things about Microsoft. I loved it before you started giving me tons of free stuff, and now you're giving me tons of free stuff, and I still love it. So, I have a lot of conversations with people about, you know, Microsoft and the stack. And yeah, so we were in Spain, a few weeks ago with this other accelerator called Menorca Millennials, and you know, we were noticing that the website was pretty slow in Spain, it's on the side of the planet, and I did a little research, said, oh, I should do spin up a Redis cache for that, but I'd never done one before, I know anything about it, and I mean, you know, 15, 20 minutes later, it's up and running, and everything works first time, and you know, it just, that is generally my experience working with Azure. Whenever I want to do something that I don't know how to do, I do a little research. I read some very well-written, you know, well-documented article with a video on how to do it. I turn it on. It works the first time, every time. It's an incredible experience. I love working with Microsoft products.
Excellent. Tell me a little bit the free stuff. I assume you're talking about the BizSpark program, right?
Yes.
How does that help you?
So the BizSpark program provides us, you know, with free server time. So as a B2B SaaS company, our only expenses, our only cost of goods sold are credit card processing fees, server time, and customer service.
All right, I just
and
want to quickly, B2B is business to business, and SaaS is software as a service.
Yes. And so our only cost of goods sold are server time, credit card processing fees, and customer service. And so the server time is completely free right now with the credits that Azure provides. And so that really helps a lot keep our costs down as we're growing.
Excellent. Tell me a little about the technology that you're using specifically on Tribe.
Sure, it's a .NET, but it's a it's all web APIs with JavaScript front end. I use some Kendo. It works well with Microsoft.
Oh, Kendo and, from Telerik.
Yes. Yep. I use that for some of the UI elements, the more complex UI elements that that match something they have out of the box. I can just pull it off the shelf and plug it in. They have some nice client-side databases, client-side database, data operation tools that are really nice that keep track of everything. Everything talks to the back end through, JSON objects and a RESTful API. But everything's written in .NET, SQL Server. And I really, particularly whenever I'm talking to open source developers and they kind of, say, oh, .NET isn't that really old, ancient, outdated technology. And I said, well, we're still doing the same asynchronous, web APIs with JSON objects. And then I start showing them things like Link, where I can query an object in memory the same way I would query a database. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. So typically it's more just an opinion that isn't really backed up by any facts.
Tapped into like SignalR or any of these other things that we want to invest in that comes included. So
yeah, the other question I get sometimes is, and I'll tell them, well, it's compiled code, so it's 300 times faster than Ruby. So,
very cool. So is things like SignalR, like real-time response, is that on your roadmap?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it was, it was a classic example of one of those things where the people think that this real-time WebSocket stuff is it kind of all came along with Node. And so you kind of believe like, Node and WebSockets, it goes together. It's the same thing, right? And so, someone was asking me, hey, can we have this real-time feedback on the site? And so I just Googled, WebSockets for .NET, and I found SignalR and, a video that was 2.5 years old, and they're up there demoing that, on a single server, they can, serve like, 20,000 endpoints or something. And, they've got this like video game where you can control, two HTML screens in real time, 30 frames a second. And it's like, of course, Microsoft has built it. It's extensible. It's well documented. It's there's instructional videos on how to turn it on and how to use it. Oh, and by the way, it plugs directly into Terralix's platform with Kendo. So why am I not surprised?
Very cool. What else is on your roadmap? What's your next big feature that you're gonna roll out?
Yeah. So right now we're really investing mostly in the product called Tribe Coach, which is sort of our premium offering. So just to be clear, we have a small business tier that is accessible today, self-serve. You can jump in. It's very affordable. And that's a general purpose sort of task manager. And then Tribe Coach is a platform that sits on top of it and allows our sort of target customer to serve their customers. And so for at least the next quarter, that's going to be where most of our product development is. We see that as a bridge into a lot of other things that we'd like to do. So one of them is actually developing a content library. So all of this content, the training programs that the coaches are developing, we want to make that platform more robust and allow them to actually share these training programs with a larger audience and have a searchable library that you can access if you're a small business customer. So that's part of our ecosystem and community development efforts. And then, we definitely want to double down on Tribe Coach for a while until we hit certain revenue targets. And I think then go back to enhancing our, I think there's a lot of things that we want to touch. Integrations is a big piece.
Integration with
what? With Outlook. We want to do in email experiences that are really robust, in calendar experiences, and then we want to touch, Slack and a couple of other major players.
Yeah, and CRM and marketing automation tools as well.
Yep.
Okay. That's a lot of ambitious plans. Is this the whole company here, or how big is the company?
This is it. Yeah, we've done a lot with very little. We have kind of the core pieces of skills that you need to do what you need to do to run a company. So design, development, testing, sales, marketing is all kind of between these three people.
There's probably a lot of people listening to this that want to learn more about Tribe. Where should they go?
Tribe.do.
Tribe dot what?
Tribe.do.
.do. Tribe.do. Is that what country is that? .do.
It's a domain that's really in the States is used for productivity apps, but it is the Dominican Republic. Yeah.
I see. Okay. I haven't seen a lot of .do domains.
It's a secret ambition of ours that we want to retire there. So.
No. David, we help people get stuff done. Not do it. It's only fitting.
Yeah. I like it. I'm joking.
I like it. Tribe.do. Look at it right now. It's a nice looking website. And here you can try it. There's a free trial here and some information about coaches and business owners and even a screenshot of your application. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you guys want to talk about?
I don't know.
That's a great question. I was not prepared for that question.
It sounds like the answer is no. So let's wrap it up. It's been a great conversation. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to be here, and I wish you the best of luck in your business.
Hey, David, do you mind if we add a question?
A question what to me?
Yeah, no. You're saying can we come up with a question?
You can talk about whatever you want. That's your show.
David, in terms of startups that you've spoken to, what's been the biggest thing that Microsoft's given startups that you've seen that's been most beneficial to them?
Oh, that I've seen. I work with startups a lot, so I think it depends on the startup. For a lot of them, it's the free software, because startups almost always are strapped for cash. You know, unless you've got an Elon Musk behind you, which most of us don't, then we're making off our savings. And so just removing the cost of software and the cost of cloud computing is a big one. But probably as important for a lot of startups is just being available to answer questions. So people like myself, people like Martin, people like Tim, we have office hours that we have at places like 1871 or the University of Chicago. They just renamed it to the Spolsky Exchange, and just being available for that, I think people really appreciate that Microsoft isn't just a faceless corporation, that there's people actively trying.
To put kind of an emphasis on that, I can tell two stories where Tim and Martin have gone way beyond any expectation of customer service. In the first story with Tim, he started meeting with me once a week and doing code reviews where he would look at the code that I was doing and offer me. He'd say things like, "Well, why aren't you using, why aren't you using this and why aren't you doing that?" And I'm like, "Because I don't know it exists. That's amazing, and I'll start using it." And that was really, really helpful. And at one point I had, I'm struggling to remember specifically what the situation was, but I had some sort of challenge, and I hit him up on Slack at, 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night or something like that on a Thursday night. And he wrote back immediately and started helping me, and we worked on it till 1 o'clock in the morning. I have no expectation that someone I'm not paying, even people that I do pay, are going to be responsive at that hour. But he was, He was thrilled to help me. And I posted about it on LinkedIn and shared it with Satya Nadella. And then he shared that, and then I got like 9,000 hits on my LinkedIn page as a result of that.
Satya shared the story?
Yes.
That's awesome. Satya, yeah. The CEO of Microsoft, for those that don't know.
Yes. Yes. And
just because Tim happened to be up taking care of his baby, when he called.
And Martin, so Martin's done the same thing. I was struggling with getting, I basically I've been working on the core product, and then, one of my customers, some of my more enthusiastic customers were saying, we've got to have file attachments. I'm like, man, to hook up file attachments, I've got to set up a blob storage account. I'm going to have to do this, asynchronous writing to that. I'm going to have to all this other stuff. And I was complaining about it to Martin. He's like, I've heard a lot of startups that, need help with this. He's like, I'm going to build an interface for this and give it to you. And no kidding, 2 weeks later, he comes back. He's like, "Here's the code." And I'm like, "Really?" Wow. And he just wrote it for me. So, I mean, again, no expectation that this would, I don't want to set an expectation for all of the, people out there working with Microsoft that this is the level of customer service you're going to get, because it's beyond any expectation. But it just blows my mind every time that it happens, and it's happened more than once.
That's outstanding. I'll definitely share that with these guys, with Martin and Tim, and my pal Satya, of course.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thank you so much for being with us today. I've learned a lot, and thank you for joining us here on Dev Radio.